All right. Well, I am excited for today. Today is one of my favorite Sundays of the year, and not just because of the MOPS bake sale, but today I get to talk about our work in our partner community in Cochabamba, Bolivia, which if you've been around, you know that that's near and dear to my heart, and I love to talk about it. If you are unfamiliar with it, maybe it's your first Sunday here, or maybe you're new, we have been working with an organization called Food for the Hungry, which I may call FH for the rest of our time today. But FH, we've been partnering with them in Cochabamba, Bolivia, in a community called Uspa Uspa. And it has been a 10-year community-to-community, or C2C, I might say, relationship. And part of the C2C relationship is child sponsorship. And a ton of people from our church have sponsored kids in Uspa Uspa. At one point, we had, I think, 250 kids there sponsored by people in our church. And my family, we sponsored a little girl named Mariana, and we sponsored her right after the very first trip in 2010. And so in 2011, I went back and I actually got to meet her. Here's a picture of her with her dog. Her dog has a coat on, which I thought was pretty fun. I know, it is very precious. And then here we have a picture. That's me and her. We got her a little gift that I was presenting her. And so I got to meet her in 2011. And in my first visit with her, I've shared this story before, got to know her and her family, and I asked her, you know, hey, what can we be praying for? And her answer was, pray that my dad comes home. She said he's been working in Spain for the last decade. She had only seen him twice in her life. And she said, just pray that he comes home. I think 11-year-old girl, only seen her dad twice. Now, I didn't know the ins and the outs of the family situation, but, you know, I prayed with her then and there, and I told her, you know, hey, me and my kids will be praying for you at home. And so I left her house that day just with a heavy heart, you know, and I had hope for her. And God works miracles. I had faith in that. But at the same time, like, I was just thinking about all just the realities of life and what she was facing. Here's this young girl being raised in Uspa Uspa, didn't have access to clean water. Her school was like 45 minutes away and it was under-resourced. You know, there was crime, gang activity in the neighborhood. And then just on top of all of that, she also just didn't have her dad in her life. And so my heart was thinking, like, realistically, you know, where is her story going? And so that was hard. So over the years, I got to visit her many times. Every time I went to Bolivia, I got to meet with her family and I prayed with her and would always ask her, like, hey, what can we be praying about? And I always got the same answer. Pray that my dad comes home. And so we would pray together and then I would go home and it was hard. Well, then in 2016, he came home. Like God answered her prayers and her dad came back from Spain. He's been living with them ever since. It has been amazing. And all through those years when he was away, Mariana's mom was amazing. I mean, she was on top of her and making sure she was in school. She was like a super volunteer at the FH child development program. Her mom was a community leader. I mean, she's just doing everything. And Mariana was excelling in school. And it was a great illustration to me of the power of child sponsorship. Well, 2018... Mariana graduated from high school, aged out of the program. And so when I went to Bolivia, I said goodbye to her. And part of that last visit was just say, hey, what's next for you in life? And she said, well, I want to be a doctor. And I thought, you know, that's really cool. You know, considering where she was when I met her, now that she's like leaving high school and she's got these ambitions of being a doctor, I thought, that's amazing. But, you know, you never know what comes along in life, what life's going to throw your way. And so you never know what's going to happen. So once again, I prayed with Mariana, and I said goodbye for the last time. Or so I thought, okay? Now, this past year, I got to go back to Bolivia. And honestly, when I went, I had, like, it wasn't even on my radar that maybe I would get to see Mariana again. I mean, she's 23 now. She's a young woman. She's aged out of the program. And so it just wasn't even on my radar. But to my surprise, when I got to Bolivia, FH's staff said that she was going to be there at her parents' house and that I was going to get to visit her again. And so I did. Here we are. This is us this past summer. There she is. And guess what? She is a fifth-year medical student, and she's going to be a surgeon. I know. Like, that is amazing. Praise God, right? So when you hear from organizations like Compassion International or World Vision or Food for the Hungry, and you know, they tell you that child sponsorship actually works, that it makes a difference in a life of a child, I'm here to tell you, it really does make a difference in the life of a child. It made a difference in Mariana's life. It made a difference in the lives of hundreds of other kids in USPA. Like I said, there are hundreds of people from our church that sponsored kids there who had stories like that. Now, I had one of the most significant spiritual experiences of my life this past summer in Bolivia, and I am excited to share with you about it today. I got to see the fruit of 10 years of work that God has been doing there, and Food for the Hungry has just been faithful, a faithful presence there. Many of you have been faithful in sponsoring your kids and writing letters, and our team got to see the fruit of that. And so that's what I want to talk about today. But before we do that, I want us to get into the Word, and I want us to talk a little bit about mission. You know, we've been in the Gospel of John for a couple weeks now, and John emphasizes that Jesus is the Son sent from the Father, and John emphasizes the mission of God. And so I want us to dive into the Word to talk about, you know, why we do what we do. Right? What we've been placed here in Gig Harbor to do in our community, and what also we've been called to do to the ends of the earth. We serve a great God, and he has given us a high calling. Sound good? Make sense where we're going? All right. Well, before we get there, I want us to pray. Would you pray with me? Father, again, I just praise you for all the work that you're doing right now in the lives of my brothers and sisters in this congregation, for the work that you are doing in Gig Harbor and in Western Washington, and Father, also for the work that you're doing in Bolivia. Just amazing to get to partner with FH and see your work. And today, we just want to dedicate this time to you, acknowledging your deeds and the work that you've done and praising you for it. And so, Father, today as we talk about the changed lives of these kids, I just ask that you would be glorified. I ask also that you would speak to us from your word. We thank you for being a missionary God who doesn't wait for us to come to you, but who runs after us, chases after us, and we praise you for that. We lift these things up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So, like I said, we've been in the Gospel of John for a number of weeks. And John, like all the Gospels, kind of give a different angle to the story of Jesus. And John emphasizes the sentness of the Son, right? Jesus is the Son who was sent from the Father, or sent by the Father. Like even at the very beginning of the Gospel, John writes, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world." And I love the way the Message translation translates John chapter 1. You know, we see Jesus as true light, the true light of God, taking on flesh, coming into the world. And the Message kind of words it as, "The Word became flesh and blood, and it moved into the neighborhood." Such a good image. We have the house across the street sold, and we had some new neighbors move in a couple weeks ago. And I just love that picture of God filling up the U-Haul, right, and moving into the neighborhood. Just a cool image. And so all four Gospels, you know, they approach the story of Jesus from different angles. And when you read, like, the Gospel of Matthew, you see a lot of this Old Testament imagery and how Jesus fulfills a lot of this Old Testament language, images of the Christ. If you read Luke, there's a big emphasis on the humanity of Jesus and his love for the outcasts and the down and out. Well, John, the unique angle of John is Jesus' pre-existence and his being sent by the Father. God is not a God who sat back idly as we perished in our sins. The Father sent the Son. And in Jesus, God took on mortal flesh, became one of us, and entered into our pain. and entered into our brokenness and into our shame to bring us back to God. Right? John reminds us that God is a missionary God. Now, it's interesting to see what John does with this at the end of his gospel. Because in John chapter 20, you know, after Jesus has risen from the dead, he appears to his disciples and he breathes out the Holy Spirit into them. And listen to what he says, or listen to what John says about this. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so also I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So at the end of John, Jesus, you know, breathes out on his disciples and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And he says, "As the Father sent me, so I am sending you." Right? So at the beginning of the gospel, we have a world in need of God. Right? And God takes on human flesh and moves into the neighborhood, right? As the message says. God didn't wait for us to turn to him. God came to us. And then at the end of the gospel, we see the disciples, you know, symbolically receiving the Holy Spirit and Jesus sending them out into the world. Just as Jesus incarnated the Word of God into the world, now we have been sent kind of to reincarnate the Word of God into the world through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The Father sent the Son, and now the Son sends the church. We continue this sending mission of God. Now, there are many ways that we can join God in his mission to the world. In fact, every time, you know, when this service is over and we leave here and we go out into the world, it's like we are going out on mission for God. You take the Word of God back to your family. You take it back to your school. You take it back to your neighborhood. You take it back to your workplace. And everywhere we go, we incarnate the gospel to the world. I mean, that is an amazing calling that we have, right? And you think of all your different callings in life. You know, one of mine right now, you know, I'm a dad, right? And so part of that calling is to teach my children about God. And yes, you know, that means teaching them the Bible, means teaching them theology, teaching them things about God, teaching them about Christian character. But it also means modeling for them what God is like. Right? How we teach how we treat our children teaches them something about God. How we treat others when our children are watching us teaches them something about God. What we delight in, what captures our hearts, what captures our attention, how we respond to adversity, all of these things teach our children something about God. We incarnate the gospel to our children. And it's not just with our children. If you don't have kids, like anytime you go into your workplace, anytime you go to your school, anytime you go back and you're interacting with your parents, wherever we go, the Holy Spirit goes with us and we incarnate the gospel in word and in deed. But also we as a church body, we work together and we partner with a lot of others to partner with God in his mission, both locally and internationally. And today I want to highlight the work in Bolivia. So this past year, we sent our final short-term team to USPA USPA. It was amazing. We got to be a part of their graduation ceremony. By the way, USPA USPA was, I want to get this right, it was the first field in Bolivia to actually make it all the way through a C2C. And I think it was only the second or third anywhere in the world to stay with a church for 10 years. So what we're going to do, I'm going to play a short video that just summarizes the C2C and the last trip. And then my friend Paul's over there. Paul's going to get up and he's going to share a little bit. And then my friend Jim is going to get up and share after that. And then I am going to get back up to close us out. All right, so let's start with the video.
In 2010, Food for the Hungry introduced us to their work in squatter settlements outside of Cochabamba, Bolivia. The needs were great. Rampant under and unemployment, frequent school dropout, widespread domestic violence and gang activity, and an alarming infant mortality rate. The people didn't have access to clean water or basic sanitation. School resources were distant and inconvenient, and the church was young, small, and struggling. But the people had hope and a vision for the future. They met with FH to dream and brainstorm about what their community could look like. Access to clean water and sanitation were close to the top of their desires. Education resources were also a priority. But at the top of their list was a community center, a place where the people could come together, meet their neighbors, enjoy a meal together, and discuss the challenges they faced. Over the next 13 years, Believers Fellowship would partner with FH and the people of Uspa Uspa to help make these dreams a reality. It has been quite a journey. Streets that were once dirt became cobblestone and then paved with stoplights. Buildings went from one room to multiple rooms and then multiple stories. And along the way, we helped with the development, helping construct a community center, helping outfit a church with classrooms and latrines, helping stock classrooms with reading, writing, and arithmetic resources, and even helping build a water tower and local sink hookups in many of the houses. But more important than the infrastructure was the community that we saw built over the course of the C2C. The improvements to the church have enabled them to better reach their neighbors. The community center has enabled the locals to meet together and discuss problems and dream about the future. And FH has been able to use it for parenting classes, after-school clubs, and even a clean water committee. Now finally, the biggest impact has been on the children. Now over the years, our church sponsored over 250 children. And we got to see many of them go from high-risk little kids to thriving young adults. And many of them now are studying to be teachers, nurses, doctors, and lawyers. It is impossible to put into words what we saw God do over the last 13 years. So thank you for your work and for your support. I am so grateful for what we got to be a part of, and I am excited about the next chapter in Crystal Mayu.
Hi, I'm Paul Spadoni. My wife Lucy and I went to Uspa Uspa in the second year and then again last year, which gave us a real opportunity to see the results this project had on the community over the years. We saw a huge impact that clean water had on the community. Now, we initially thought that the main benefit of good water meant the reduction of illnesses. And we're not wrong about that. But what we hadn't realized is how important water is to the community's economic life. We saw flourishing gardens. We saw women making food to sell. We saw men at work building new roads and homes. These activities also require clean water. The men were the second thing we noticed. Before, many men were absentee dads because they had to go elsewhere to work and support their families. Now, many men are at home because of a more vital economy. A third big change was the hope that the children had for the future. Children raised in poverty feel that their lives will be the same as their parents' lives. They see no way out. But these kids see things differently. We were there when the kids dressed up to represent their wished-for careers on a school day. They dressed as veterinarians, doctors, lawyers, teachers, policemen, military officers, engineers, and mechanics. They understood that with a solid education, they could change the future. The girl that Matt supported is a great example of that. Now, between the first service and now, Lucy asked me to add one more thing that she saw that was a difference. And she said it was the countenance of the women there. They had looked so positive this last time we were there because they saw that their kids were getting solid educations. The fathers were home. They were able to start businesses because of the clean water. Lucy and I also had the great privilege of taking our grandson with us on his first mission trip. Before the trip, Micah had 1,000 questions and plenty of anxiety. He worried that he would stand out as the youngest person. He worried because he couldn't speak Spanish. He worried that he would be asked to speak in front of other kids. He worried that the kids would stare at him. With all these questions and concerns, which continued during the trip, it was hard to tell from day to day if he was enjoying himself. But by the end, there was no doubt. He said it was the greatest experience of his lifetime, and he can't wait to go again. I asked him to write a short account expressing his thoughts, and I'd like to read his answer now. Hello, Believers Fellowship. My name is Micah. I'm 13, and I'm the youngest kid to go on a trip to Bolivia with BF. That can change, since there are a lot of 12-year-olds out there ready to break my record. If you imagine a mission trip to be a time when you inspire other kids to become Christians, then you're right. But be prepared. You may fly to a ridiculous number of places before you get to your final location, and your phone may not work in any of them. The more flights you take, the less people speak English. So maybe take a couple of Spanish lessons that teach necessary words like, where are the snacks? Or you can do what I did and just stay with Yvonne the entire time because she speaks Spanish. But in all seriousness, people might respect you more if you take time out of your schedule to learn a bit of their language. When you visit homes or schools, every kid will be staring at you, guaranteed, because they have never seen an American kid visiting them. To interest them, you can bring a cool hobby of yours and teach them how to do it. My hobby was doing yo-yo tricks, and I wasn't very good 4 months ago. Now I can't wait till I go on the next trip to Bolivia because my skills at yo-yo have significantly grown. You'll most likely have a game day where you just play games with a massive group of kids. Even though you might not understand Spanish, try to guess what the idea of the game might be, or do what I did and ask Yvonne what we're doing for 5 hours straight. Whatever happens, I guarantee that will be an experience you'll remember for all of your life.
When the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, he started off, "Our Father, in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I love the piece where he says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The Food for the Hungry model is that 10-year, although we were 13 with COVID, model that is funded by child sponsorship. And that's what "your kingdom come" has meant to me. It's that child sponsorship piece where I've got to see God's kingdom come here on earth. So you saw a picture of me and Emmanuel. He first started off 5 years old, little guy, little chubby guy. And we looked at each other. You start to try to connect. And how do you connect with a five-year-old anyway, let alone one you can't speak the same language? And we just started to communicate through Yvonne, who was mentioned. What are you doing? How do you pray? Are you going to church? You know, do you love Jesus? Then I gave him a Bible. So I got to see Emmanuel over 6-7 years, and then you saw the last picture where now he's taller than me, and he's a big guy. We got to spend this last trip in a park with our phones, Google Translate, back and forth for 4 or 5 hours. I learned more about the phone from him than I knew about it myself, and learned a lot about Google Translate. Now I've learned about WhatsApp. Even though he's aged out, we're still communicating, probably a couple times a week. How's your studies? How's the Word? How's your family? It's just precious stuff. The other stories that I can tell you about child sponsorship in our church is, Rodney and the Oslins, Stacy. The first year we went down, there on the wall is a picture of their family with Mount Rainier in the background. And you're just thinking, wow, we're in this 12 by 12, you know, cinder block home. And you're sitting on little couches that are beds in the evening, and there's a family from Gig Harbor on the wall. And it just told me how precious, you know, this was to these kids, that someone from thousands of miles away was writing them letters. And FH makes it so easy. It's just too easy almost. There's the website, you just go, and anytime you know, through the week, hey, how you doing? You can just send off that message and have a picture that you can send of your family. And you'll see those posted on their family walls, on the walls of their houses. Chip Maxson used to go here. He was one of the front office guys for the Rainiers. And he's a man's man. He now is with the Sacramento River Cats and in the front office there. And the first year we went, he brought a Bible to his sponsored child, Ophelia. And I remember I'm sitting outside of this room, and here's Chip, knee to knee with Ophelia, handing her the Bible, and he's blubbering like a baby. And guess what I'm doing? I'm on the outside looking in, blubbering like a baby. It was one of those cries that you can't even talk, but just watching the connection between the sponsor child and the sponsor. Other ones that we got to see as far as child sponsorship and connection was Yvonne, who was mentioned, and little Sandra. Sandra is a Down syndrome child. And the resources aren't there as much as they are here when it comes to a child with Down syndrome or someone with a handicap. And we got to see those connections as Yvonne entered into their lives and was allowed to enter into their lives and to support that relationship. Then there was Carrie Westover and her sponsor child, a beautiful young lady in her teens. And Carrie had sought her out, stalking her on Facebook, because actually Facebook's there too. And here's Carrie discussing with her about young boys, watch out, and giving her counsel. And this was that connection, thousands of miles away, someone there speaking into her life. I'd like to end with just a passage that it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And that's what child sponsorship is for me. God prepared that good work for me to do, for me to enter into, and it's His work. And there's an opportunity today. So as your infomercial, I'd sure look at one of those kids out there. But if you do, it's not just the monthly check that goes out. That's the side job. The real job is the writing and the getting involved with their lives and showing them that someone cares in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Paul, as well. I'm glad that Micah wrote that letter. That was unexpected, and it was really fun to hear his perspective. He was just a delight to have on the team. It's impossible for me to put into words the impact that this last trip had on me. Like the graduation ceremony at the end, it was one of the most significant spiritual experiences of my life. A lot of my work on this over the last decade has just been a lot of organizing things and sending emails and waiting on hold with airlines as we tried to figure out, you know, solutions to problems. A lot of mundane stuff, like just a lot of work. And all along, you know, I've always had to tell myself, like, okay, remember, like, child sponsorship works, right? The research through this shows that it works. So, you know, keep going, keep writing the letters, keep going on the trips, keep praying, it works. And then to sit there at the end of it, during the video, you saw one of the pictures of it. I mean, there was probably like 400 people, 300 or 400 people from the community that came out to this ceremony that was like half worship service, half community event. I mean, and they were singing praises to God on the like traditional Bolivian flutes, and they had the drums and all that stuff, and dancing traditional dances and just celebrating together the work that God had done. And in the midst of that, like, it all just hit me that this work meant something, right? That real lives were changed and that we got to be a part of it. All of the work that you did, all of the giving, the letter writing, the prayer, all of that made an impact. And in the people of Uspa Uspa, their lives will never be the same. God broke in, and I'm so glad that we got to be a part of it. So what's next? People have been asking me that for the last year. Well, the team, we've just discussed a lot of different options. And what we've decided we're going to do is that we are going to stay in Cochabamba and just move into a different area there. And there's a reason why we're doing that. Over the years, we have built some pretty strong relationships with FH's workers in Cochabamba. Just one example, one year we were there, and we got to go to a wedding. So we reached out to one of the ladies that used to work for FH. She's moved on doing other things. But we were going to go out to dinner, and we called her up, and we're like, hey, do you want to go out to dinner with us? And she said, oh, man, that'd be really fun. I can't do it today. I'm getting married. It's a pretty good excuse. I felt like, no, but she was like, would you come to my wedding? And we're like, yeah, that'd be awesome. So we went, and it was amazing. And so it's those kinds of relationships that we want to continue. And so we're staying with the Cochabamba team. So they have finished up their work in Uspa Uspa, but there are a lot of areas of need there. And so they're just moving from there to another field in the same city. And it's another, what's called like a peri-urban area, something like the outskirts of the city. And it's called Cristal Mayu. So they're going to put some pictures of it up there behind me. But Cristal Mayu is actually just down the street from Uspa Uspa. In fact, if you drive from downtown Cochabamba to Cristal Mayu, you actually pass Uspa Uspa on the way. And Uspa Uspa looks way better today than it did in 2010, but you pass it on the way. And the people of Cristal Mayu, they struggle with many of the same things that the people of Uspa Uspa did back in 2010. And so many of them, they're there because they've relocated from Potosi, which is a mining town. And so in Bolivia, the mining economy has kind of collapsed. And so you have all these unemployed miners who are now looking for ways to survive. And so a lot of them moved to Cochabamba. One of their struggles is that oftentimes they only speak Quechua or Aymara or one of the tribal languages. They don't speak Spanish. So it's very hard for them to integrate into the Western economy. So they end up in jobs that pay them barely enough to survive. And so the parents, they have to work really long hours, and they often leave. I mean, we've seen stories where they're leaving a four-year-old home in charge of a two-year-old, like that kind of thing, like leaving little kids alone for long times. And when that's your living situation, it really raises the risk of kids joining gangs, or, you know, teenage pregnancy, or things that are going to repeat this cycle of poverty for another generation. The people there don't have clean water, which leads to like a high infant mortality rate, or even with the older kids, if they get sick, they might miss a lot of school, so they're constantly, you know, missing school time. You've heard us say many times that access to clean drinking water remains globally one of the biggest issues and biggest poverty-related problems in the world. Under and unemployment have led to unsafe living situations and poor diet for the kids. The school facilities are inadequate and the population continues to grow. And then finally, the churches there are small and struggling. So FH, this is kind of actually interesting. Through all their work in USPA, they now know like what works in this community and what doesn't. And so based on what they've learned over the years, they now have six goals for Crystal Mayu, or six things that they're going to implement. First off, they're going to start a parents group, and it's like a parenting class. This is focusing on kids birth through five, and they're just going to meet with the parents and talk about, you know, how do you take care of a little one, and what are some things you should be teaching them and doing with them. Second, they're going to start after-school programs. This is for the older kids, elementary school age kids. It's going to be a real emphasis on literacy and mathematics. Number three, they're going to emphasize micro-enterprise and community gardens. And so you've kind of heard us say like the clean water can be used to help grow, you know, healthy foods. They'll do gardens, and then maybe they turn those foods, they cook them into something and sell it. And that becomes a business that will generate income and improve nutrition. Number four, they want to partner with churches to strengthen these local bodies so that in 10 years when FH is done and they leave, that the church can take over and continue the work. Number five, they're going to start discipleship groups for the kids. So they're not just going to teach them reading, writing, and arithmetic, but they're teaching them the word, and they're teaching them, sharing the gospel with them and what it looks like to follow Christ and do leadership development and things like that with them. And then finally, child sponsorship and partnering with us. That's their sixth goal. Now, just like with the previous C2C, our end of the relationship involves four things. So first off, and this is the most important, child sponsorship. And you can sponsor a kid from Crystal Mayu today. There's a bunch of child sponsorship packets out there. All of those kids live in Crystal Mayu. And sponsoring a kid will enroll their parents into like the parenting programs. It enrolls the kid into the discipleship program and the after-school programs. There's health and nutrition benefits for them too. And this is the best way to get involved, and I promise you, it will change a life. The second part of it are the community projects. And so every year the community identifies, you know, something that they wish was different about their life. And so this past year we worked with Clean Water, and we're going to continue that next year. So last year it was with USPA, this year with Crystal Mayu. And one of the reasons that this became a real passion for them was during COVID, they were trying to educate the locals about, you know, how like community health. And one of the things they were saying was, you got to wash your hands, you got to wash your hands. And then they were like, how can they don't have clean water. How's that going to help them? So they're just really struck with all the cascading effects of not having access to clean water. So that'll be 2024, but every year there'll be something different. Third part of it, short-term mission trips. We're going to go every summer. It'll be next July is the next time we go, and you can join us on the trip. When we're there, we usually help out with the project in some way. Sometimes it's digging ditches or, you know, lugging rocks or something like that. Sometimes it's more of a ceremonial, you know, dedication of something. But we do help with the project in some way. But then the cooler thing is, if you sponsor a kid, you can actually meet them and meet their family, and it is amazing. And then finally, prayer. When you sponsor a child, he or she will write you and, you know, tell you what's going on in their life, and just praying for that kid is huge. So what can you do today? All right, four things you can do today. First off, you can sponsor a child. And we've got, like I said, the sponsor packets out in the foyer. But wait, you say, I already sponsor a kid in USPA. What happens to that kid? Well, FH has finished that program, so that work has been handed over to the local church there. But if you sponsored a kid from USPA and you're still doing that, you should have gotten notified by FH that you have a new child, and that child will be in Crystal Mayu. So you should have a new child in Crystal Mayu already. But if you don't, you can sponsor a kid from Crystal Mayu. All right, so that's the first thing. Second thing, you can sign up to go to Bolivia next summer. We're going in July. I think it's the 15th-ish, 15th, 16th, 17th, somewhere in there. We'll be gone for a week. Our interest meeting is on December 3rd. So you can sign up. There's a sign-up sheet out there. That doesn't commit you to going. That just says, I'm praying about it. And so you can sign up to go. Third, if you're not able to go to Bolivia, but you still want to be involved, We are raising money for the Clean Water Project. We're starting today, and we're going to be raising money through July. Our goal is $10,000, and so you can just mark a giving check, Bolivia, or you can select it in the online giving thing. All right, last way. You remember last year and early this year, we ran the half marathon, Tacoma City Marathon and half marathon to raise money for clean water with World Vision. Well, we're doing it again this year, only this time we're going to be raising money for Crystal Mayu. So I've got a sign-up sheet of people. If you had a good time running with us earlier this year, you can do it again. And those of you who signed up last year, I still got that list. I'll be hitting you up to be on the team this year. I know who you are. The race is on April 28th, 2024. So those are the four things. Sponsor a child, go on the trip, donate towards the project, or run in the race. And honestly, you can do all four. There's no rule against doing more than one. All right? So it's all in the foyer there. At this time, we are going to respond to the gospel. The band's going to come back up. We're going to sing another song. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So if you didn't grab your elements on the way in, you can do that right now. We got tables on the side. We got tables in the back. You can get your elements right now. Now, while we sing, I'd love to pray for you. And I'm going to be standing back there. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, I would especially love to introduce you to him and to pray for you. He will change your life forever, I promise. God created you for a purpose. And he created you to live a life, you know, live life with him. And there is a power out there called sin that holds us under his sway, and we are powerless to resist it. It pushes us away from God and drives us into a life of the things that we know we shouldn't do. And if we continue to live in sin, it takes us down a path that leads to death. But the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ died for sins and rose from the dead. And if you believe that, I have some amazing news for you. The scriptures teach us that it is humanly impossible to believe that apart from the work of God in your life. So if you believe it, that means God's working in your heart. And I would encourage you to listen to that voice. And I would love to pray for you and teach you and you know, tell you how you can know Jesus today. If you have anything else going on in your life, concerns about your health, concerns about your kids, concerns about your job, I'd love to pray for those things as well. I'm going to be back there. Julia from the women's prayer team is already back there by the sound booth. She would love to pray for you as well. Now, the last book of the Bible, Book of Revelation, gives us a foretaste of what it will look like when God completes his mission on earth. Revelation says, "After this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" History culminates in worship. And we go out on mission because there's still people out there who don't know God and need to join with us in worshiping him. And we know how the story ends, with God's people from every tribe and every tongue and every nation gathered together before the throne, worshiping God, proclaiming his goodness. And we get to be a part of that life right now because of Jesus. So would you stand with me as we remember Jesus and join him at the table? The Apostle Paul, he writes in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Oh, my bread's gone. "Now, in the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'
For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you. First off, I just praise you for the work that you're doing here in our community and all around the globe. I mean, it was amazing to see your work in Bolivia, and I just thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. Father, I pray that right now, even as we've gathered together to worship you, I pray for our brothers and sisters in Cochabamba, many of whom may be working with these families right now as we speak. Father, I pray that you would fill them with your spirit now, that their words and their actions would be your words, that the people would see them and they would catch a glimpse of you in your glory. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters here. I thank you for their all of their giving, all of their letter writing, all of their prayer, all of their work over the years. And Father, we're excited to see what you're going to do next. We thank you for inviting us to be a part of your mission. We delight in it. We delight in you. We delight in Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.